message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're glad you've joined us today. And we're going to look again at the book of Romans, chapter number 16. We're coming down to the end of the book, and we're going to sort of have some a good time here with the last couple of verses in the book, and try to finish out our studies of the book of Romans with an understanding of what it is Paul is talking about at the very end of the book, when he talks about the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. If there's anything in your study of God's Word that you need to understand, it's that issue. And when he talks about in Romans 16:25, "Now to him that's of power to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest." That term, the mystery, now that's not a religious term. You have to understand that the Bible sets up its own system of definitions for its own terms. It has a system of terms and definitions that don't match religion. One time I had taught and had a lady call me after listening to our program. And she called me and she says, "Preacher, I want one of them dispensations you were talking about." And I said, "Ma'am, I'm not sure I know what you mean." She says, one of those dispensations that you were talking about, I want one." And it took me a minute to realize what she was talking about was she'd heard me teach about the dispensation of the grace of God and so forth. And she heard the word dispensation, and she heard or she read into that word in the Bible the religious definition that her denomination had put on it. And she was looking for a dispensation in a religious sense, that is, a permission to have erred or to sin. And that isn't what it is in the Bible. It's not some special dispensation where you have permission to do something. In the Bible, a dispensation is a particular set of instructions that God gives to man for his obedience. Well, the term mystery is the same kind of a thing. It has a special definition in the Bible. It has an entirely different definition in religion. A man was talking to me one time about the mysteries of the faith, and he talked about the mysteries of the of his religion. And I said to him, he said, "You know, if you in your religion you profess that at a certain point in your worship that wine turns into blood, and that bread turns into flesh." I said, "You know, if you took the wine and chemically analyzed it, it'd still be wine. And if you took the bread and you chemically analyzed it, it would still be bread." He says, "Well, that's the mystery of the faith. It's sort of like believing that God opened up the Red Sea so Israel could go across." He says, that's a mystery. I said, no, friend, that isn't a mystery. When God opened the Red Sea, he literally, physically, visibly opened it up, and they went across on dry land. And some little boy, maybe like one of my little boys when they were little, could have walked over to that wall of water and stuck his finger in there, and it would come back wet. It would have really opened. What this man was talking about was that, see, that's not a mystery of faith. That was something that literally happened. That's a miracle that takes faith in God's Word to believe, but there's nothing mysterious about it. It's a real event. What he was talking about in his religion by mystery, what he was talking about was superstition. See? That's why Paul in Acts 17 looks at some people on Mars Hills and says, "I perceive that you are too superstitious." Religion and superstition go hand in hand all over the world. And the term mystery, as is used in religion, is usually used to describe some superstitious activity that people are trying to tell you about, that if you objectively analyze it, it isn't really there. And so they say, "Well, that's the mystery." But that isn't the mystery. That isn't the way the Bible uses that term. When the Bible talks about a mystery, it's talking about a secret, something that people didn't know about until it was revealed to them. That's why he says the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is manifest. And in the passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul is dealing with a dispensational contrast. And that contrast involves the presentation of the Lord Jesus Christ prior to and after the revelation of this secret that he's discussing here, that was kept secret before, but now is made manifest. The contrast with that, if you'll look with me, is Acts chapter number 3. In Acts chapter number 3, there's an absolute contrast with Romans 16:25 that demonstrates two different programs in the purpose of God. In Acts chapter 3, verse 18, Peter is, he's the chapter after Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, you have the great day of Pentecost where the Holy Spirit comes on the apostles and the little flock there, and they go out and preach to the nation Israel. In Acts 3, Peter has gone, and John have gone into the temple, and as they go into the temple, there's this lame man, and he wants to be healed, and they heal him, and the man goes into the temple with them, leaping and praising God. And then a whole multitude of people come together to hear Peter explain what was happening with this lame man. And as he explains it, he says to them in Acts 3, verse 18, "But those things which God before hath showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled." In other words, the prophets back here in time past looked down through history, and they saw that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to show up. He was going to come. God was going to come in the form of David, in the flesh of David, and that he was going to suffer, and that he was going to die. And not only was he going to be rejected and suffer and die, but he's going to be raised again. He was going to ascend into heaven, and he was going to send the Holy Spirit back on the little flock there. The prophets back here see that Christ is going to come. They see that he's going to suffer. They see that he's going to rise. They see that he's going to ascend, and they see that the Holy Spirit's going to come. Now, Peter is standing here in Acts chapter number 3. You've got the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John back here, and you've got the book of Acts beginning out here. Now, he says to them in verse 19, "Repent ye therefore, because all these things that the prophets have been telling you about have been fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." He had also told them about some wrath that was going to come, and that Christ was going to come and redeem the believers from that wrath, and then set them up in a kingdom out here, where he'd bind Satan in the bottomless pit, and he would rule and reign out here for 1,000 years, after which the dispensation or the fullness of times would begin out there. Now, Peter, he looks back, he says, all these things that the prophets have fulfilled have happened. All those things that the prophets tell us about in the future are going to come. So you need to repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Right there, when he brings the blessings back. Verse 20, "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you." The same Jesus that's gone away will come again over here. "Whom the heaven must receive," he's gone away, "until the time of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his prophets since the world began." From the time God put man on the planet back here in Genesis 1:1, from the time he put man on the planet back here, what he's been telling them about is this kingdom. And he says, they need to repent, and Christ will come back and set up that kingdom. And the time of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. We call that prophecy. A prophet tells the future. And prophecy is that which has been spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. They talked about Messiah coming. They talked about the crucifixion. They talked about the resurrection. They talked about his ascension. They talked about the coming of the Holy Spirit. They talked about the ministry of Peter and the little flock in the early part of the book of Acts. They talked about the period of wrath over here and the Antichrist that would deceive the nation. They talked about the Messiah coming back to redeem Israel. And they talked about the kingdom out here and so forth. And Peter says, all these things that the prophets have been preaching about, they're happening. Now that is in contrast with the way Paul preaches the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 16, verse 25, now to him that's able of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Now there's going to be a secret way that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be proclaimed. There's going to be a secret way, a mystery way that Jesus Christ is going to be made known. And that method of the mystery is revealed to the Apostle Paul. The reason Paul is in your Bible. See, Peter's the head man back over here. Peter and the 12. The 12 matches the 12 tribes of the nation Israel. But when you come over here into Romans to Philemon, where we're studying, you come into the ministry of the Apostle Paul, and Paul is not one of the 12. And the reason is that he's preaching the Lord Jesus Christ according to a revelation that was kept secret about him until it's now revealed in the dispensation of the grace of God. Now notice, if something is preached about, is spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began, and as a preaching of Jesus Christ according to a message that was kept secret since the world began, they're different. They're not the same. There are two different ways to know the Lord Jesus Christ in your Bible. And prior to the ministry of the Apostle Paul, the Lord Jesus Christ was presented in your Bible primarily to the nation Israel. And the presentation was according to that which is spoken by all the prophets since the world began. Come with me to Romans chapter number 9, if you will. Romans, the 9th chapter, and you'll see how Paul says it here. Romans chapter 9, verse number 4. Who are Israelites? Talking about his kinsmen. Who are Israelites, of whom pertaineth the adoption? All right, the nation Israel back here, they have a special status. To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Whose are the fathers? These people have, they have the covenants, they have the adoption, they have the glory, the service of the tabernacle, they have the law, they have the promises, they have the fathers, and of whom concerning the flesh Christ came. Not only do they have all these blessings and privileges from God, when Jesus Christ came, you know who he came to? He came to the nation Israel. Romans chapter 15, verse number 8, is very clear that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers of Israel. Jesus Christ is made known as Israel's Messiah. And in prior to the Apostle Paul, primarily the way you see Christ presented in Scripture is in relationship to the nation Israel, belonging to the nation Israel, and the Gentiles are down here cut off. And the only way a Gentile got to God was to go through the nation Israel. That's why in Matthew chapter 10, Christ tells his 12 apostles, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritan enter you not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ told the woman at the well of Samaria that salvation is of the Jews. See? That's why the Lord Jesus Christ told the crowd about Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, that this day Zacchaeus come down from that tree, because this day is salvation come to your house, for as much as you are a son of Abraham. You see, salvation belonged to the nation Israel up here because they were God's chosen people. And in time past, the Lord Jesus Christ is presented as Israel's prophet, as Israel's priest, and as Israel's king. And they are presented to the nation Israel as the great prophet that was to come, as the great high priest, and as Israel's coming king. If you go with me back to Acts chapter 3, go back to Acts chapter 3, Moses is quoted here in Acts 3 verse 22 by Peter. And Peter is quoting Deuteronomy chapter number 18. Acts 3, verse 22, Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. So Israel is looking for a prophet. And the Lord Jesus Christ is presented as Israel's prophet. Come with me to John chapter number 7. John chapter number 7. The Lord Jesus Christ is presented as Moses says, God's going to raise up a prophet like unto me. He's going to be the Messiah. He's going to be your Redeemer. He's the one you better hear. Christ comes and is presented as Israel's prophet. John chapter number 7, verse number 40. Many of the people therefore said, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Chapter 6, John chapter 6, verse number 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracles Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. He's the prophet, like unto Moses, that Moses said is going to come. So Jesus Christ, it came to be Israel's prophet. Not only that, the prophet spoke of not only the Messiah as being a prophet, but also spoke of a high priest who was to come. Come back with me to Psalm 110. Psalm 110, verse number 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make the enemies thy footstool. Verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So not only are they looking for a prophet to come, they're looking for a priest to come. The great high priest to come. And when Jesus Christ comes, he comes as Israel's great high priest. Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 1. And the book of Hebrews through Revelation, again, takes up Israel's program. When the dispensation of grace comes to a conclusion, and the present interruption where Israel has been set aside, and through the fall of Israel, salvation has gone to the Gentiles, when the dispensation of grace is over, this secret way for Christ to be presented, this other way that he's presented, when this thing is over and we're caught out of here, then God's going to go back, and Israel's prophet, and Israel's priest, and Israel's king is going to come. So Hebrews says about the Lord Jesus Christ, wherefore, holy brother, partakers of the heavenly, consider the Lord Jesus, the prophet and priest of our profession. He's the great high priest. In fact, Hebrews chapter number 8, and I better read these verses because my mind doesn't always pull them out just right. He says in Hebrews 3:1, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 8. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. You see, Jesus Christ is Israel's great high priest. He belongs to them, and he came to be their prophet, their priest, and their king. God made a covenant with David that of the seed of David, he would sit upon David's throne. And so Jesus Christ is not only Israel's prophet, not only their priest, but he's also Israel's king. And he came to be their king. And Jesus Christ is presented in the prophetic scripture, in the Word of God, as the prophet, the priest, and the king of Israel. And these offices of prophet, priest, and king show the relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ and the relationship that he has to the nation Israel, to his people who are going to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation in the earth. Now, come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. The Apostle Paul presents the Lord Jesus Christ in a new way, in a different way, if you will let me say it that way, in a way in which he was not presented to the nation Israel. The presentation of Paul in here is different than the presentation that prophecy and the prophets had given to Christ back here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And by the way, in here, it's the preaching of Jesus Christ, not according to prophecy, not according to that which is spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began, but according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. Here is a presentation of Christ that you only find in Paul's ministry. The ministry that Christ from heaven's glory gave to Paul and through him to this body of believers in here who are called the church, the body of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, from now on, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. And I spent the last 15 minutes on this program going through verses with you about Jesus Christ after the flesh with regard to his fleshly people, his earthly people, the nation Israel. Paul says, yet henceforth, from now on, know we him like this no more. We're not following Jesus Christ after the flesh. What we're doing is we're following Jesus Christ according to a ministry that he has from heaven revealed in here, in this mystery revelation. You see, Christ is presented by the Apostle Paul in a different capacity. If you go back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 in one hand and Ephesians chapter number 1 in the other, you'll see that the Apostle Paul presents the Lord Jesus Christ as the head of the church, the body of Christ. You know, you look at me, I get chalk all over me, but don't worry about all that because my wife will holler at me enough for that. You don't worry about it, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile. You see, today, God has set aside the distinction between Jew and Gentile, and he puts anyone that will believe, regardless of who they are, whatever their past was, he puts us into Christ, into a body of believers, into a spiritual unit of believers called the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 22 and 23. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, notice now, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Christ today is presented not as the prophet, the priest, and the king of Israel, but rather he's presented as the head of the church, the body of Christ, in which there is neither Jew or Gentile, bond or free, male or female. All of the previous statuses of life are not the issue any longer. Your life's history ends, your personal history ends at the moment you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, because that moment, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. You are identified in the person of Jesus Christ to the place that you literally become one with Him, and God makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus. You become a part of something brand new. And when He says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things are passed away. He's talking about that stuff there. Behold, all things have become new. He's talking about you having a new identity. He's not talking about your behavior in that verse. He's talking about your identity. You having a new identity in Jesus Christ as a part of His body. And the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, has to do with you and me being made a part of Christ's body and given an identity in Him. And that's why Paul says, excuse me, in Colossians chapter 1, that God would make to the saints, God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, we're given a new identity in Christ, the old identity of Jew, Gentile, bond or free, all that's done away with, and now we're given a new identity. We're given His identity. We're inseparably united with Christ. His death becomes our death. His burial, resurrection, becomes our resurrection. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, Jesus Christ, preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery involves preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ and his body, the body of Christ, what God's doing today. Preaching Jesus Christ, in time past, Christ was presented as the prophet and the priest and the king of Israel. But today, in the dispensation of grace, now he's presented in an entirely different way as the head of a body of believers who are joined together with him, made one with him by faith, and placed into a complete and total new identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what the Christian life is today, it's not you trying to go out and strive and live under the law and accomplish things that God would do with the nation Israel, but it's for you to relax and for me to relax in the identity that God gives us in His Son, to appreciate the fact that we've been made righteous and we've been made accepted and we've been made separated in Christ, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And the only wisdom you're going to find is in Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and righteousness, and redemption, and sanctification. That word sanctification means to be set apart for the purpose for which you were created. The only way you'll ever find the meaning and the fullness and the fulfillment and the purpose in life that God created you to have is for you to find it in Jesus Christ. You won't find it in your own way. You won't find it in religion. You won't find it in the world. You won't find it in a bottle or a needle or a textbook, a school book. You won't find it in a science laboratory. You won't find it in a communion cup. You'll only find it in the person of Jesus Christ, because only all those other things never loved you enough to die for you. Only Christ did that, and only He can save you when you rest by faith in Him. Thanks for being with us today. Until next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape we'd like you to have to come along with today's study. The tape is entitled, Manifesting the Mystery. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy, along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at the Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's the Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during regular business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 368. That's tape offer number 368. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us today. If our study together has been a help to you, we'd be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rather divided word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. I will be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is the Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until next time for another Message of Grace.